The pasuk chaf dalet, perek tes pasuk chaf dalet, perek tes pasuk chaf dalet. Iyov is complaining that the world, it appears that he's going back to his previous belief that there is no such thing as hashkocha pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allows the world to function in a state of chaos. And here in Pasuk Chaf Dalet really is a continuation of Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We'll Chaf Gimel again, just quickly. Im Shot Yomis Pesom Lamasas Nikim Yilog. Let's go further because that's really the complicated pasuk. We did that yesterday in detail. Let's go to Chaf Dalet right away. Eretz Nidna Biyad Rosha Pnei Shavtehom Yichase Im Lo Eifo Mihu. Okay, so simply means the earth is given over to the hand of the wicked, meaning that the Eov is complaining that it appears that Hashem allows the Satan free reign. Hashem says to the Satan, do whatever you like. And of course the Satan is the force in this world that does not abide by the laws of justice. And Eov feels that he has been given over to the Satan, who has been permitted to bring upon him horrible pain and suffering. Pnei Shoftecho Yichaseh, Hashem covers the face of the judges. There is no mishpat. The Rasha rules. Mishpat is concealed. They are hidden. Imlo, Eifo Mihu. And okay, there are different translations. We'll learn now simply if what I'm saying is correct. Imlo Eifo. That's one expression. Mihu. Who else? Who else would be allowed to control the world other than the wicked, the Satan? Okay, let's read the Metsudos. The Metsudos does not translate those last words the way I just said, but let's just go slow. Pasuk of Dalim Metsudos David. Eretz Nitna Hine Harasha Baodo Ala Aretz Baodo Kol Aretz Shalo. Being that the Rasha possesses the earth, he has the ability to do his will. What that includes, ligzol, the lashoik, to rob and to oppress, ulroif choskoi, and due to his enormous power, the wicked's enormous power, he has the ability to silence the judges. Hine shayvte aretz yalimu ayin menu, the judge of the earth, they conceal their eyes from him. Uchiilu yichas apneim, it's as if the judges, they cover their faces. Leval yistaklu b'masav, not to gaze at the actions of the wicked. And we see this today. People who are extremely wicked, who have enormous power, the judges, the system of justice that has the power, that has the duty to prosecute and to control these people are afraid. They're afraid of them. They're afraid of the terrorists, right? You're not supposed to negotiate with terrorists, but unfortunately, the terrorists sometimes are so powerful you have no choice. And the mishpat has to be hidden, put on a back burner, in order so that even the shoftim are not destroyed. And then
that doesn't only apply to terrorists.
Yeah,
it also applies to political figures that are supported by money, and political figures sometimes will be afraid to make a certain move.
Absolutely.
And the political supporters will not support them financially in the next election.
Corruption at its best. Yeah, and that's exactly what it's saying. That's exactly what this pasuk says. The land has been given over to the Russia, and therefore pnei shavtecha yichaseh, there's no mishpat, there's no such thing as being objective. Everyone is nogea bedavar, and mishpat has to conceal itself in order that they themselves will not be harmed by the Russia. Imlo. Now he concludes. Now these last four words are difficult words. Imlo, eifo mihu. Mitzudos rotzolaymar. Im toimar lo kein. If you will tell me that I'm making a mistake, you will tell me I'm a liar. It's not true. There is no such thing. The wicked do not control the world. Im toimar lo kein hu aye poho ish. Then show me a man. Show me someone that will deny it. Prove it to me. Basically, what he means to saying is, prove it. If what I'm saying is not correct, mihu, show me a person that will come forward to prove to me that the wicked do not control the world. That's seemingly, that's how he says. Im toima lo kein hu. Aye efo means, in this context, where is... show me
where is a rebuttal.
Okay, fine. Im lo efo mihu, if it's not the way I say, then who else? Okay, brother, so we'll leave it with that. So this is his observation of the world. Okay, Pasik, let's use Rashi. Rashi say anything here, Pasik. Chav Dalid, Biad Rasha, Klape Satan. Rashi learns that the Rashi in this context is the Satan. Pnei Sheftecha Yichaseh, who are the Sheftim have been hidden. Mehifkin Bidvar Emes. The Sheftim have been concealed from understanding the truth. Vim lo efo, Dover Emes, Dover Zeh. If what I'm saying is not true, if what I'm saying is not correct, mihu hamechale es hatnimim, who then is the one that's destroying? Rashi learns not like the mitzudos, but Rashi learns mihu, who else is destroying the tzaddikim? The tzaddikim, we know in this world, we look around and we see that tzaddikim suffer. They suffer very greatly. Why are they suffering greatly? Obviously, it's because the Satan is in control. Because if the Satan was not in control, who else is in control? If Hashem is in control, Hashem would not allow. This is the apikursis of Eof. This is what he's struggling with. He sees in front of him tzaddikim that suffer greatly, including himself, and he is confused. He is bewildered. How could it be a tzaddik suffers? The tzaddik does not deserve to suffer. The only reason it could then be is because Hashem has disappeared. He has left the scene. He has handed over the world to the forces of evil. The forces of evil are the Satan, and the Satan has free reign to do what he wishes, and that's why the tzaddikim suffer. And if what I'm saying is incorrect, that the Satan is not in control, who else is in control?
All evil suffers.
So yeah, that is the way he learns. He learns that's what he's suggesting here, that it's not chaos, it's not something in the middle. It's either Hashem is in control or the Satan is in control. Or maybe what he means to say is that even if the Satan was not in control, it would not be that the tzaddikim they suffered to such a degree. If let's say there would not be a Satan and there would just be chaos, Hashem would disappear from the scene. It would not come to a point where a tzaddik would suffer to such a great degree. Chaos is chaos. Chaos, there's suffering, but not to the point like he finds the situation he finds himself in, where it's relentless. There's no end. There's no respite. There's no end to his suffering. The fact that his suffering is l'malo miderech hateva must be that there is some being that is bringing this upon him. Who is bringing what? Being is consciously bringing the suffering upon him. It can't be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not all tzaddikim suffer. There are tzaddikim that have a good life.
Einochinami, but the fact is that he.
That disproves his.
And there are Rishayim that suffer.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, the fact, even if one side, that's exactly, you're making a very good point. There are tzaddikim that don't suffer, but the fact is, since there is at least one tzaddik that does suffer, that's not mishpat. That's not fair. A tzaddik, if there's one tzaddik in the world that has not done anything wrong, he's a tzaddik, why does he deserve to suffer? Hashem is yashar. Does mishpat. It's not fair that even one tzaddik should suffer. The fact that one tzaddik is suffering must mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in control. He's left the scene, he's given over the power, reins of power to the Satan, to the Rasha, according to Rashi. Rashi learns that the Rasha here is the Satan, and that's why the Satan does horrible things, causes tzaddikim to suffer unjustly. And if I'm saying is incorrect, mihu, who else? Can't be HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Rashi.
Yeah.
Can the Satan operate independently of Hashem?
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. It's exactly what Rashi is learning. Eov is saying this. It's not true. It's not true. This theme is we look at this as apikursis. Everything that happens, that's the purpose of this Sefer. Everything that happens in this world, we don't understand Hashem's ways. The bottom line of Sefer Eov is we don't really understand Hashem's hanhaga. Hashem, as we say in Yeshaya, Kiloi, Machshavosai, Machshavosechem. The bottom line of Sefer Yevi is a person has to have a emunah pshuta to recognize that we don't understand the way Hashem conducts this world. But Eve at this point in time is saying it's not fair. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person does have a right to relate at least to what's happening in this world. And from his perspective, from his purview, how could it possibly be that a tzaddik suffers? It must then be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in the hanhaga of this world. He's given over control to a force of evil, and this force of evil does whatever it wants. And if what I'm saying is incorrect, he's challenging his friends. Me who? Who else? Hashem? Can be, because the entire last two parakim Eve has said over and over many times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I acknowledge, is Yashar. So why then is there a lack of Yashrus in this world? It must be Hashem is not present. There is no Hashkocha Pratis.
Keep on repeating the same thing. I mean, if he makes his point, he makes his point.
I'm not doing it justice. He's not repeating himself. Every time he says something, there's a different nuance. There's a different idea. It's unfortunately the person that's giving the shir here is not doing justice to bring out the fine nuances in the idea. But we'll read the mitzvahs, we'll read the Rashi, we'll do some of the midrash, and we'll do the best that we can to try to bring out at least something.
To different challenges, before with friend A and then with friend B, so he's responding.
Friends like
great debate.
Okay, so the bottom line is the word eifo means then, imlo, if not eifo, then, mi hu. If not then, what I'm saying is correct, that the Rosh is in control, who else would be in control and bring suffering upon this world? This is the way Rashi learns. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Now here, he begins another idea. The Yomai Kalu Mineirots Baruchu Lo Ra'u Tova. He said this idea multiple times in the previous psukim. He's just saying that my life is going by very quickly. Time is passing very quickly. And let's see, Pasuk Kafei in the Mitzudos. V'yamai Avol Ani Im Kol Tzidkoisi. I, despite my righteousness, Hinei Meharu Yomai Leleches Bekalus Rav. My days are quickly passing. Yoisem He'odom Harots. Quicker than a person who runs. Faster than a runner, Baruch Hu Mimeni, my days are passing from me, Ki'ilu Lo'ro Toiva, as if I have not seen good my entire life, Ki Hakol Nishkach Ata, Bevo Mar B'Sara. He's saying something very scary, that Rachmana Litzlan, when a person suffers with great intensity, all the good of the past is wiped out. It's hard to believe. He had 70 wonderful years. And the intensity of his suffering now is so great, it's as if his memory has been cleaned, has been washed clean. He has no recollection of all of the good that he has experienced in the beginning of his life. This is different than what we learned a few parakim before back. A few parakim ago, we learned that Eve said that even during the days when I had a good life, I sensed something was wrong. I was afraid. You know, sometimes a person has this sixth sense when everything is good, but you just don't feel right. There's something that doesn't feel right. What?
The other shoe is going to fall.
Right? Even though a person, everything is good, everything is besimcha, there's something, suddenly it's not right. It's certain sense that you don't see what's going on, but your mazel. There's a concept in halacha of your mazel senses that in Shamayim there's a kidroig, there's something wrong. Something's waiting, something harmful. And that tsar, that bad feeling takes away from the joy that you're experiencing at the moment. Eve said this a few parakim back. He said, I acknowledge I had 70 good years, I had wealth, I had children, had slacha. But it always bothered me. I always sensed that there's something terrible that's going to happen to me.
Something's waiting
for me. And that anxiousness caused me to...
Anxiety.
Anxiety took away the simcha sachayim I had those 70 years. That's not what he's saying here. Here he's saying maybe it's true that the first 70 years I had a very good life, but the pain I experience now is so great it's as if everything doesn't exist. That's what it says here in those last three words, the very powerful words. Lo rohu toiva. I did not see good. What do you mean you didn't see good? You did see good. No, the fact that the pain is so great now, it's as if I did not see good. And now in the beginning of the pasuk doesn't seem, I don't know what the connection is to the end of the pasuk, but the days now that the suffering now is causing the remainder of his life to quickly just pass and flee from him. Rashi pasuk of hey, the yomai, my days, and kilyoin sha'or hatzmimim, halu many rots. With the destruction of the other tamimim, here he's connecting himself to other tzaddikim. According to Rashi, my days in kilyon sha'or hatamimim, with the other righteous people. Tamimim means people who are righteous. Sha'or hatamimim. So I'm not exactly sure what Rashi means by connecting it to sha'or tamimim. Kalu mine rots are flying by faster than a runner, a sprinter. Okay, pasuk. Let's try to go further. Pasuk chavav. Cholfu im onios eve. Kinesh. Now, what he's doing here, I really should have taken a step back. Starting with pasuk chavhei, through the next shu psukim, he's giving four examples. His eve is describing that his life is flying away, is drifting away very quickly. And he gives four examples. Pasuk Chav Hei, which we first mentioned, is the first example. Mine Rots. Rots is a person who runs. A runner. And in ancient times, this was a profession. Before the days of FedEx, UPS, and all the other types of delivery services, and email, and all the different forms of technology, there were people who specialized in running, in sending messages very quickly. Naftali Ayala Shulucha. That was Naftali, the son of Yaakov Avinu, that was his specialty. He was the runner. Whenever Yaakov needed to send a message to a diplomat or some person in the ancient world, who would be the one that would send the message for him? Naftali. Naftali was called Ayala Shulucha. Ayala is a very quick animal. The Ayol, it's Svi the Ayol. The ayol runs very quickly. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in ancient times, Rats katsvi, and also like an ayol. We also learned, we even learned this, I think, by David and Shlomo, that they would go through a medical procedure to remove their spleen. Is there any medical knowledge of this, that the spleen slows a person down? They would be too late to chol. The spleen was removed from their body because the spleen somehow slows a person down. Are you familiar with such a thing?
No, actually, if you take out somebody's spleen, they're very susceptible to infection because the spleen works in an immunological way.
Right.
You have to immunize them and so on. Children with sickle cell anemia, trotsis, their spleen gets infarcted and it shrinks and they're very susceptible to infections.
Okay.
Maybe they're talking about a spiritual spleen. I don't know.
The Kenyans. Is there anything unique about the Kenyans? Their spleens? The Kenyans are always the fastest. They always win the marathons. The Kenyans, I don't know. Okay, well, there's also something about the legs. They also did something to their ankles, not their ankles, to the bottom part of their feet. They also they cut their legs, or they took off skin. I'm not exactly sure. They also went through some type of medical procedure to their feet, which enabled them to run quickly. Whatever this is.
I didn't know they did surgery.
No. Time of David and Shlomo. Ancient times.
You remember with Hillel when the guy came to bother him on Erev Shabbos?
Still on one foot.
Question about the feet of the Ethiopians or something?
Yeah. Why their feet are flat? Because they live among the sand. So they're able to go and...
I don't know where arches.
Okay, I'm not sure. But the first example that Eev gives is, Mine rots, my days are flying by faster than a runner. A person who specializes in running quickly. Baruch Hu Leiro Toiva. Pasuk Chavav. Cholfu, my days, my life is passing by. Im Onios, together with the ships of Eveh. Now, what is Eveh? So simply it means, okay, we'll see the name of a place. Right now we'll learn there were ships that in Eveh, name of an ancient city, ancient country, which had very quick ships. The ships, we'll see, the Targum says, for ships that are filled with fruit. I don't have the tag in front of me, but they were ancient ships. Ships that were used to transport fruit were designed in a way where they can move very quickly, obviously, because fruit has a short shelf life. So before refrigeration or whatever, if you want to transport food from one part of the world to another part of the world, and you want the food still to be edible by the time it reaches destination, you better get it there very quickly. So they would use the fastest ships of the day to transport fruit. Others want to learn Avem means a pirate.
Rashi says
it's a name of a
city. Name of a place, or name of a type of ship, a river. Okay.
This word doesn't exist anywhere else.
Correct. So that's why it's difficult to understand what exactly it means.
The name of a river.
The pirate idea probably comes because Ava means enmity.
Enmity.
Therefore, it becomes like an enemy ship.
Enemy ships. So pirate ships, they would flee from. They would attack. They would steal and they would flee immediately, very quickly. So that's another interpretation. So again, Ava either means the name of a place, a name of a river. It either means a certain type of ship which was filled with fruit, or it means a pirate ship which would flee from being caught and would have to move very quickly. The common denominator for all of these interpretations is speed. Exactly, it was a ship that was very, very quick, and this is what Eve is describing here in this context.
Usually in life, things are going well, time passes fast. When things are bad,
exactly right,
it slows down. So over here, just the opposite. Things are bad, and you
exactly
say time
right.
Okay, you're making a very good point. A person is in a state of torture, it's like an eternity.
Right.
And Echanami, Eve really was also going through an eternity because he had 70 good years. His entire suffering lasted only for 1 year, for 12 months. And yet he makes it sound like forever.
Compare that to Yaakov Avinu, when Paro asked him, how old?
He was 100 and how long? 130 years old at that time?
Yeah.
And he said, my days are ma'at few viro'im. He had a lot of tsar, a lot of difficulties in his life. Okay, let's see. Cholful im onios eva, and then he gives a third example, kinesher yotush ale ocho. The word yotush does not exist anywhere else in Tanakh. It means, from the context, a nesher that flies, that scoops down quickly ale ocho upon food. Okay, let's take a look at the mitzudos in pasuk chavav cholful. Avru im honios, my days have passed with the ships. Aholchos al nohor Eve. Eve is the name of a river. Hammaharis lalechas. This river has a very swift current. Okay, afu maher, my days have flown by. Kinesher, like an eagle, hammaher loaf, which flies very quickly, ba'avur hasagas oichel, in order to reach its food. Okay, now what does Rashi say? Pasik chaf vav eve shem nohar shaitav, name of a river. Yitosh yifrach means to fly. So in total, there are four examples. Okay, four examples. Let's go back. The pasik chaf hey is a rots. Yomai kalu mine rots. Baruchu means they fled. They fled lo rohu tova. Now it's not giving a very specific example, but just an expression. Baruchu, like a person who runs away. Baruchu means a person who's fleeing from an enemy. So it's a different type of running. There's a person who specializes in, he's a professional. He's a rutz. He's a runner. He delivers messages. And then when a person is running for his life, Rachman will say he's under attack, and he's running for a life, he also runs very quickly. And maybe he runs even quicker than a person who is a runner. He paces himself. When you run the marathon, you don't ride away. When you start off, you don't run as fast as you possibly can. You have to save that for the very end. You have to pace yourself. But when you're running for your life, you don't think about the future. You run, you start off running.
That's called fleeing.
Fleeing. So that's a different type of running. So it's not done with calculation. It's just done with impulse. And then there is anios eve, a ship, and then there is the nesher. Okay, now I don't know the exact details. Some of the Mefarshim, they dwell upon these four examples. And if you think about it, you may talk about the man hashtana, therefore abonim, you can sit the whole day and try to analyze four different types of examples of fleeing, of swiftness. There's the nesher, there's the rots, there's the concept of being bereach, and then there's the concept of the anios, the ships of Eva. And Eov is saying about himself, all four examples of swiftness apply to his life. The way he looks back at his life, I guess what it means is the tsar that he has now, in this moment of time, they forced him to look back that my whole life just passed by. Maybe what it means, some real interesting question that eternity. He's not referring to the moment now. When a person is in a good frame of mind, so when he thinks back, he looks back at his life, he's able to look back and say, yes, I have accomplished this. It doesn't seem like your life went by in a moment, because you're able to focus on the good things of your life, and you're able to appreciate that you have done accomplished very much. But when you're in a tortured state of mind and you can't wait until it's over, you lose the ability to look back at your accomplishments, and you just look back at the big number. All of these years have passed and life just passed me by. That's not true. You go to a psychologist, they'll sit you down and say to you, why did you say that your life was a waste? Your life didn't just pass by. Think about what happened in this year. Let's go through all of the events. Every single day what you accomplished. And what happened in this day, what happened on this day. And a psychologist will show you that life didn't go by so fast. But right now, being that you're in a tortured state of mind, you don't have the ability to look at it in that from that perspective. It looks like everything just passed by. Yeah?
No, people say, you know, if death is approaching, their life flashes before their eyes.
Yeah, exactly. The life flashes. Kachalayim, we say that Yom Nerayim. Yom Nerayim. So why do you say kachalayim? Because when a person is the emas hadin, and you feel like, who knows, this might be the end. It's the yom hadin, and who knows what's going to be. So you have that pachad hamavit. Now you sense kachalayim yoav. So this indeed is what he's trying to bring out with four different examples. Now some also want to go further to connect this, the theme which reappears over and over. We had it already a few times. The Sefer begins with four tragedies. Four terrible things happened to him. We had his asoinos, then he has gemalim, his bias, and then his bonim. There were four terrible things which happened. His property was divided into three different categories, and his children.
It's pretty much overnight.
One shot, right? One shot. So the Perek Aleph begins with describing, describing four major tragedies. And then comes the fifth tragedy, later when he himself suffered his physical suffering. But it's divided into two categories. So some want to connect that these four different examples here of the Rots, the Bereach, and the Nesher, and the Neos Eva correspond to the four events in the beginning of Sefer Eov. How does it correspond? What's the correlation? I don't know. I just wanted to throw out these ideas.
And bring the example from all three elements, from land, sea, and air.
Well, that's very interesting. Okay. So you have land. So what's land? Rots is land. Now what about Baruch Hu? What's that?
Same thing.
It's only that's, but so we have to, there has to be a difference though. And then there is Anios, and there's the Nesher, air. Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. Okay, it's very good. Four different types. Okay, but that's at least we can dwell upon. You just read the pasuk very quickly. You don't appreciate. There's a lot going on here. Two very simple psukim, but there are four major concepts expressed, and tie it back to the beginning of the sefer.
His children were married. Their children, grandchildren.
Seemingly, yes. We don't know. It doesn't say.
The focus is on him. He doesn't think about their wives and their children.
Collateral damage. So we have to assume that's all included in the tsar. We have to assume he had 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls. They made parties every day. Were they married? Maybe he does say that. Maybe they were their families. I assume they were married. We have to assume they were married. Maybe when it says that they died with their spouses, they died with their children, their grandchildren also. They were all in the house. They were all in the house. Doesn't say here that the grandchildren came to be menachem him. Doesn't say that his daughter-in-laws, his seven daughter-in-laws, on the other hand, doesn't it say explicitly say that his daughter-in-laws died? Doesn't say anything about his grandchildren. A lot is left to the imagination. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Each one had a party in their own house.
But they all came. They made a party in their own house, and everyone came to visit.
They rotated. Which makes you think that they each had their own house, and they must have been married, that they were away from
the household. That's the assumption. That's the, right. The assumption
is that he's focusing on himself, and he's suffering.
He's not focusing on the other families, the 10 families that are also suffering. Correct. That's a very good point. Yeah, you're making me, why don't we focus on that? You're right. He's not the only one. He's not in this alone. He's in this with others as well. You're right. I don't know. Okay, so now let's go now to Pasuk Chof Zayin. Im Omri Eshkecha Sichi E'ezva Fanai Ve'av Liga. Let's take go slow. Pasuk Chof Zayin. Let's see first the Mitzudos Tzion. Some hard words here. Pasuk Chof Zayin. Sichi means my complaint. Okay? I said I'm going to forget. I'm not going to speak anymore. I said I'm going to stop complaining. If I were to say eshkecha, I were to forget my complaint. Ezofonai, I would abandon my anger. We're going to see in a moment. Fonai means my anger. Ve'avliga, and I would strengthen myself. Let's take a look at the Mitsudo. So that all we have to know at this point is, Sichi means complaint, means to speak. And in this context, he's complaining. Speech is complaint. Fonai means anger, my face, my anger. And the third word, Ve'avligo, in this context means to strengthen myself. Let's take a look at the Mitsudos David. Im Omri. Im Echashem. I would think, Eshkach Yilalti, the Sipur Talusi, I would forget my complaint, my wailing, and my Yilola, and my giving over of complaint, the Ezov Kasi. So here he's translating the word Panai, my anger, the Eschazik, and I would strengthen myself, Lehis Apak, to hold back from complaining, Melitzoik Umilehisroim. And from complaining, we have to read the next pasuk. We have to continue. This is a theme which goes on for a few psukim. Yogarti kol atzvosai. Next pasuk hafei. I would collect. Yogarti means asifa. I would gather in kol atzvosai, my sadness. I would not let my sadness come to fore. I would leave it holding. It would be for nothing. In other words, it would take enormous effort on my part to keep my mouth shut and strengthen myself and accept my lot. And after all this was said and done, if I would go through this exercise, it would be futile. Because Yodati, I know it would accomplish nothing. What would I get? Kilo sinakeni, it would not cleanse me from my sin, and I would still continue to suffer. If you would tell me that be quiet for 24 hours, don't complain, and just don't complain, and then after then by doing so you'll earn credit, and then after 24 hours your pain will subside, then I would do it. I would strengthen myself and be mechazik my emuna and be quiet, not complain, and I would achieve a result. But I'm not going to achieve anything. The end of the tunnel is death. So why should I silence myself? He's wavering. He's going back now to what Bilda Ashuchi and Eliphaz told him. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. You're suffering. Have emuna. Just keep your mouth shut. Why should I keep my mouth shut? It's therapeutic.
His complaining was his therapy.
Exactly. But they told him, the therapy is kinege das Torah. I know that's your favorite term. It's kinege, this type of therapy. You go to the psychologist and he says, you have pain, let it out.
Vent
against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against the world, and against your teachers, against your parents. If you vent, that you'll feel good. It's a release from your pain. So his friends are saying, this type of therapy is shaloi kedin. It's kineged the halacha. You're not allowed to complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says to them, well, if if I would follow the halacha and it would produce results, I would follow the halacha. But following the halacha is not going to produce results. It's just going to cause me to feel...
looking for a fast fix.
Yeah, okay, so what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? So it seems it's not going to accomplish anything.
It's a relief. It can pick up snow.
No, but it's from outside. From outside, they're cleaning.
They're doing the floors.
So since it's not going to accomplish anything, therefore he says, why bother? It's a exercise of futility to attempt to silence. Kilo sinakenis. Let's see Pasuk Chav Ches, the continuation, Yogarti. Yogarti means to esoif, to collect my feelings of sorrow. Kol ho'itzavon, my sadness, asher li, lo'otzram toichalev, to collect it within the heart. Mibli litzoik oid, hine, behold, in kol ze yodati sheloi tenaki osi min ha'yisurin. It will not cleanse me from my pain. V'lo arviach, I will not profit. In kain, from this, mu'uma, anything. So why bother? Why should I listen to you and silence myself and work, mechazik myself not to complain to HaKadosh about my situation? Let's look at these two psukim in Rashi. Pasuk of Kof Zayin Sichi, Divrei Tzari, my pain, Ponai. Ponai means chamosi, my anger, same thing as the mitzudos. Ve'avliga, eschazek, I would attempt to strengthen my mind, not to complain. Kimo hamavlik showed al eiz, the pasuk there, I'm not sure the pasuk means reference to al oz or not to strengthen myself. For your gardi, pas what?
Kino or something? Mavligisi.
Hamavligisi. It sounds familiar. I don't know. Pasuk of Ches, Yogarti ki at Yogarti, if I would collect kol atzvosoi, shelo yanichuni militzik, if I would collect my thoughts, my pain, and I would prevent myself from crying out, Yodati ki loy, it would not accomplish sinakeni, me avoini, mili para mimena. So Rashi is a little bit different than the mitzvot. Rashi is saying it's not going to cleanse me from my sin. Okay, it's not, according to the mitzvot, it's very similar, it's not going to cleanse me from my suffering. Rashi is telling us, well, the source of suffering is sin. If you are correct that I have sinned and I need to purge my sin, I need a method, I need a technique to purge my sin. Being silent and not complaining is not going to succeed in purging the sin. And if there is sin, according to you, there will be suffering. So why then should I listen to you and be quiet?
Okay, did he sin?
What?
Did he sin?
No, he's saying he didn't. He's saying he didn't. I think the end, the message of Sefer Eiv is that he did not sin. That he did not sin, and
is
yet...
Is that the test? To see if
it's not a test. It's a way of making it known. It's not. There are many different approaches to what the message of Sefer Eiv is. But on the simplest level, the message is that we don't run this world. Hashem does things that at times, not always, are beyond our understanding, and we have to, we are required to have emunah pshuta. This is what Hashem wants. There's no way we in this lifetime can understand why. It's impossible for the human mind to understand, and we have to accept it. That's not always the way it is. Ruba deruba, there is hashkach, there is a means where a person is able to understand Hashem's ways. Hashem does give a human being the ability, but there are times where we don't have that ability, and we are required to accept it upon ourselves without complaint. And what Eve is doing is he's coming to express how difficult it is for a person, a thinking person, to live a life where he does accept with emunah pshuta things that he does not understand.
But someone does everything right, and then gets punished and suffers.
Yeah.
That has to question his emunah at a certain point.
Yes, of course. Every single person. Every single person. Every single person, every day. That's what Sefer Eiv is all about. But Yosef also, Eiv is not the norm. Eiv is the exception, yeah.
It's not that we have no idea about anything about how Hashem works. We have a
But the thing is, Ruba de Ruba, we have a broad understanding, and we
just don't understand the specifics. Okay. You tell me about the principles.
Okay, let's go further. Let's see over here the next pasuk. Okay, now pasuk chavtes. So let's try to finish the parak. Pasuk chavtes. Anochi ersha lama zehevel iga. I am wicked. Why should I toil? Iga means toil in a state of futility. Let's take a look at the mitzudos. Let's get the hard words first. Pasuk chavtes. In the mitzudos Sion says v'loshen yigia. The word iga means to work. Okay, now let's go on to the Pasudas Mitsudos David, Pasuk Chavtes. Rotzaloimar, Af Im Rashati. This is how he wants to explain. If it's true, Anochi Ersha, maybe you're right. Maybe Bildad and Eliphaz, you're right, I'm a Rasha. Af Im Rashati. Lama Zehevel Iga Lehischanin Lefanov. Why should I daven? Ego, according to the Mitsudos, is eating a lot of interpretation to the Pasuk. The Yigiyah, the effort is to pray to Hashem. It takes a lot of work to daven. Davening is not just you open up a siddur and you just mumble a couple of words. To properly daven, you have to come very early, you have to be in the proper frame of mind. There are a lot of things that go into a proper prayer. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of practice. So why should I exert myself to properly pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should take away my suffering, which is one of the things that Bildad told Eoif. If remember, go back a couple of prokim back, Bildad said to him, if it was me, I would pray to Hashem. I would pray to Hashem to bring an end to my suffering. So here, in this pasuk, he's coming to reject that. Why should I daven? Why should I daven? If you're right that I'm a Rasha, I've done an Avera, and the solution is I should be mispalel. Back to the Mishnah. Rotsam af imashati. Lama zehevel ego lischan lefonov kima oil. What is it going to accomplish? Haloi kol kachani meducha. I'm at a point beyond return. At this point in time, kol kachani meducha muune. I am crushed and I am tortured. Ad she'iyav sholi lachzor likadmusi, I can no longer return to a state of health. And even if I were to pray to Hashem, I would not succeed it's impossible for Hashem to restore me to my prior state of health. So davening is not going to accomplish anything. That is his interpretation of this pasuk. So Anochi Ersha means if you're right, I'm wicked. Lama zehevel ego, why should I toil in the koyachav tefila? Rashi, pasuk of tes, lama zehevel ego, lavoi b'mishpat. Not like the mitzudas. Why should I attempt to seek justice with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This goes back to the beginning of the parak. In the beginning of the parak, Eov said, I'm a tzaddik, I've done nothing wrong. I want to take Hashem to a din Torah. I want to be mazmin HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a din Torah. And he said, it's impossible, because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as taking Hashem to a din Torah. He's just fantasizing. How could a human being possibly take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a din Torah? But he's saying, and that's what he's saying now, that's exactly what he's saying, that it's impossible. This is what I would want to do. I would want to toil in Mishpat, but it's for nothingness, because there's no way I would succeed. I would be declared guilty at the end, as we learned yesterday. Pasuk Lamed, in his rochatzti v'mei sholeg, v'hazikosi b'vor kapoi. Now we have to read the two pasukim together. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Even if I would cleanse myself in snow. In other words, a person is, let's say I'm a sinner, and a sinner is considered, his neshama is filthy, dirty in sin. So the metaphor is to cleanse his neshama in snow. Im yiyu chatoichem kashani kasheleg yalbinu, as the pasuk in Yeshaya. If your sins, if your sins are like red, I'll cleanse you like snow. So it's exactly what it's saying over here. If hisrachatzti, if I would bathe b'nei sholeg in snow, v'hazikoisi means of a I will become pure. Zakois ubihirus, the Mitzudo Sion says. I would become bright and pure, kapoi, my hands. I would cleanse. I'm sorry. Vibar means bar means
like
the type
boris.
Of herb. Boris is a certain type of an herb which was a cleaning agent. The hazikoisi bivor kapoi. I would cleanse. I would cleanse my hands in bar. It doesn't matter. Pasuk lamed aleph. What would be the end? I'm at a point beyond return. It's just a matter of time before I die. Oz then, bashachas tit bilin. It's an incredible expression. They would dip me into the grave. Bin toivel. A person is person who dies, he calls it being immersed into the grave. But interesting, in his expression, he's saying something very, very powerful. When a person dies, it's not like he's being put in the ground forever. He's just being immersed. When a person has a utensil, Pesach, you buy a new kelim. And what do you do with the kelim? You go to the mikvah. So what do? You put the kli in the mikvah. And you leave it there. You don't leave it there. You take it out. Person goes to mikvah. You dip. The expression of tevila has the connotation, you go in there and you come out. Death, the grave, is described here as tefillah. It's just temporary. How long do you put the utensil in the mikvah? For a moment. And then the utensil comes out. And then what do you do with the utensil? It lives on forever. So that's exactly what even though he's complaining, but the silver lining of the pasuk is describing that there's something called tchiyah saleisim. Tchiyah and the grave is nothing more than just a process. Person is created. That's the life we have here now, and it's like we're in a store, and we're on display. And then when a person dies, he's being put in the mikvah, and the death is only for a short period of time. And then he comes out of the grave, and he lives on forever at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Yeah.
It occurred to me that shachas is often referred to as be'er shachas.
Death. So, Gehenna.
So if it's a be'er.
A be'er is a well. It's fascinating. Fascinating. Excellent. So therefore, the word to the lady perfectly fits with the word be'er shachas, into the pit. It's not just a pit, it's a well. It's a fountain. It's a fountain of shachas, the grave, but it's like a mikvah, which you temporarily immerse and you come out and you live on forever. So it's a powerful stuff. But shachas titbileni, he's complaining that there's no hope for me. But in his complaint, we do see a silver lining. There's no hope. I'm going to pray. I'm going to cleanse myself in snow. I'm going to purify my hands with boiris. And then bashachas titbileni, you're going to bury me. You're going to dip me into the grave. Visiavuni salmosoi, and my clothing will be detestable. Now, simply this means that my clothing are full of mucus and pus from my boils. Eve was suffering from some type of shrin, and that required him to change his clothing very often, and they absorbed all of the fluids of his body. So his clothing were disgusting. When the Chever Kadisha would bury him, they would have to take off his clothing in order to put his body into the grave. My clothing would be this. So it's describing the process of his death. They would put me down into the grave, but not before they would remove my filthy, dirty clothing. In other words, he's describing what's the purpose of doing tshuva and cleansing my neshama. I have nothing to gain in this world. In this my life, in this existence, in this lifetime, it's over. At the end of doing tshuva, I'm going to die, not just a death, not a dignified death, a horrible, disgusting death where the Chever Kadisha won't even be able to come near me. They'll have to first cut off my clothing, my disgusting, filthy, dirty clothing, before they can bury me, they can dip me into my grave. That's one interpretation. We'll see that in a moment. But there's another very interesting interpretation. V'savuni samloisoi means... What are a person's true garments? His mitzvahs, his Torah mitzvahs that he does in this world. When the neshama comes to Shemayim, the neshama is naked. The neshama in Shemayim, in the Olam HaEmes, also needs to be dressed. What are the clothing? There are no physical clothing in the Olam HaEmes. The neshama's clothing, the Olam HaEmes, are his Torah and his Ma'asim Tovim. Eve here is saying that in Shemayim, after they dip my body in the grave, my neshama is going to go to Shemayim. I will appear before the Bezen Shalmaila, but I'll be wearing filthy, dirty clothing. Meaning, tshuva, he's arguing, is not going to accomplish anything for me. I'm too far gone that my tshuva can have any impact to cleanse my wicked deeds. If you, Bildad and Eliphaz, are correct, that I'm a Rasha, that I have sinned, and you're telling me I should pray to Hashem, I should do tshuva, I can't do tshuva anymore. I'm too old and weak. It's too late for me. So what, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna come to Shemayim, I'll be dressed in my wicked deeds, if you're right. Do tshuva now. You do tshuva when you're young, when you're healthy, when you have klech, when you have the ability to do tshuva. Now when you come to a point in life when you're sick and it's no fun, and you can't accomplish very much doing tshuva at the very end of your life. You have to do tshuva and work on your spiritual clothing when you're young, when you're healthy, when you have koyach. Okay, so let's take a look at this. These two psukim, pasuk lamed and pasuk lamed alef in the mitzudos stav. Pasuk lamed, im hisrachatzdi, af im erchatz atzmi b'nei shelek v'yanake kapi b'boiris. If even if I would cleanse my body in snow, and I would clean my hands b'boiris in a cleaning agent, hamenake rotzolaymar im oshuv laHashem. Even if I would do tshuva at this point in time, the avir me'olai lichluche avon, I would remove from my body the filth of sin. It does not matter. Oz b'shachas rotzolaymar hateshuva yo yoyel. According to the mitzudos, Iyov is arguing that tshuva will not accomplish anything. Ki im lahavi olai hamisa. It's too late, too little, too late. I will die. Litbol oisi, to immerse me, ule harideni, to bring me down, el shachas hakever, to the grave. Ule asher salmoisai yisavu oisi, and my clothing, salmoisai means my clothing will be detestable to me. Ki yafshitu oisa me olai, the chever kadisha will remove them from upon me. Beharid oisi shoyla, when they put me into the grave, uch oimer, he means to say, aches atoyva hahi ucha lekabel, avoloy ekabel lachzor lekadmus. Mesudas is explaining and saying, there's one thing I will accomplish. You know what I'll accomplish? At least when I die, they'll take off my filthy clothing. Right now I suffer in this world, my body, I suffer, and I'm also wearing this disgusting clothing because it absorbs the mucus and the pus and all the things that are coming out of my body. So the only thing my tshuva will accomplish is I'll die. And when I'll die, I'll get rid of the clothing. But what's that worth when you're dead? Okay, pasik. Now Rashi, what does Rashi say? Pasik lamin Rashi bibor. Bibor is nikoyon. It's a cleansing agent. B'shachas tidbeleni liyotz tzachun umigul. I will be disgusting. Two words which mean disgusting. Kilema oz timsali ovein rav. When they put me in the grave, they will find even more. I'm not sure what Rashi means here. Pasuk lamed aleph is saying oz b'shachas tidbeleni. They'll put me in the grave, and in the grave is se'avuni samlo soy. I will have even more sins. I think it means like the second interpretation that we've given, that in the Olam HaEmes it's too late for me to do tshuva. If you are correct that I'm a sinner, I'm a Rasha, I have done sins, it's too late for me to do tshuva. After I die, they'll find in Shemayim, in the Bezen Shalmaila, even greater sins. Ovon Rav, my spiritual clothing will be filthy. Okay, Pasuk Lam Beis, just trying to finish up very quickly, Kilo Ish Kamani Enenu, Novo Yachta Benishpat. Let's see in the Mitzudos, Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Mitzudos. Kilo Yikolo Yish Kamoni, Ein Hamok Baruch Hu Ish. Hashem is not a man. Kilo Yish means Hashem is not a human being, Kamoni, like me. Ein Hamokoim Baruch Hu Ish Kamoni, Sha'ashivlo, that I have a right to say to him, Novo Yachta Benishpat. Let's have a din Torah. Levar Ha'adin, Imi, Ki Im Ilu Hoya Me'evshal Hisvakeach Imo. If it was possible to argue with Hashem, Oz Kasher Yotzasi Zakai, then when Hashem would declare me innocent, Hashem would have no choice but to restore my health to what it was in the beginning. And that is impossible, Derech HaTeva. That would require Hashem to do for me miracles Hashem's miracles will be wondrous to return me to my prior state. Tshuva will just bring death. So he's coming to say over here something very powerful. If in the beginning of the paragraph we learned that Eliyahu says, I want to take Hashem to a din Torah, and I recognize that's impossible. You can't take Hashem to Din Torah. There's no one that would be Mazmin Hashem to Din Torah. If I would come to Din Torah, there's no such thing. If I would argue, I would lose. Even to suggest an argument against Kadosh Baruch Hu would declare me guilty. Who's going to be exactly? That was the beginning of the parak. That's what we learned yesterday. All different examples of showing how it's impossible. Zuntai take Hashem to Din Torah. But he's saying, if theoretically speaking, it was possible. Let's say there was such a concept, there was some possibility to take Hashem to a Din Torah, and there would be a judge, and the judge would declare that I'm innocent, and Hashem is guilty, then Hashem would have no choice but to do miracles. Since Hashem is Kol Yochel, there's nothing Hashem can't do. Hashem created this world, Yesh Me'ayin. Hashem has the power to miraculously gesundheit, to miraculously restore my health to its prior state. So that's what I would like, because I want to get back to where I was. But you, my friends, Bildon and Eliphaz, are telling me not to take that approach, because you also recognize that's impossible. You are suggesting that I do tshuva. Tshuva is a cop-out, because doing tshuva is just an admission of guilt. And an admission of guilt, I lose. What happens when you plead guilty? They lock you up. They lock you up when I plead guilty that I'm a sinner. I'll die. I'll die in a disgusting state, and I will be buried, and they'll take off my clothing, and that will be the end. So this is part of his argument. What do I gain? You, my friends, are telling me to do tshuva. Tshuva is a cut-out. It's an admission of guilt. And admission of guilt results in nothing, in death. If I was able instead to declare that I'm a tzaddik and take Hashem to a din Torah and win the din Torah, Hashem would be forced to miraculously cure me. But I realize that's impossible. So what am I left with? I'm left with nothing. So one more time, there's the pasuk ki lo ish kamoni. Hashem is not ish kamoni en nenu, that I have a right to speak up and say to him, Nova yachta de mishpat. That I have a right to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I want to take you to a din Torah. It's impossible. Let's come together.
How am I going to be an equal?
To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible. Lo yesh b'neinu mochiach. There is no one. There's no such thing as a judge that's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't exist such a concept in this world that a person, that there can be a judge to judiciate between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yoshes Yodoy al Shineinu, who has the power to put his hand upon both of us. A judge declares one party innocent, one party guilty, and that's an expression he puts his hand upon both of us. Lamed Gimel in the Mitzudos, Lo Yesh, Ein B'nei Mevardram, there's no one that can clarify matters, Asher Yosim Yad Mem Shaltoy, that has the power to put his authority, the Yad Mem Shaltoy Al Shineinu, Liyos Nishmoim, Lo that we should listen to him, Pasig Lamed Dalid, Yosim Yolai Shifto, V'eimoso Al Tativa Asani, who has a continuation. There is no such thing as a judge that has the power to say to Hashem, he shall remove from upon me his shevet, his rod of punishment. V'eimoso, and there's no such thing as a judge telling Hashem that he should remove from upon me his ema, that should not, al tiva asani, should not continue to terrify me. Pasuk Yudalit, Lamed Aleph in the Mitzudos, Im Yosir Me'olai Shift. Now he sings Pasuk Lamed Gimel. No, but we did that right. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Now I told you a different interpretation. The Mitzudos is telling us over here it's a new statement. According to the Mitzudos, Eiv is now Yes and Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a new theme. He's saying, Hashem, please stop, take away from me the fear of you. If you take away the fear of you, I would be able to speak up. If Hashem would take away from upon me his rod that brings upon me suffering, which are him hayisurim, v'leitivas osi pachto, and would not terrify me, pasik lamed hey, adabara v'lo ira enu, I would speak, and I would not fear him. But I recognize ki loy chein anochi imadi. However, I acknowledge that no such thing exists. What I'm saying is total nonsense. There's no way you can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should come together with me to Mishpat. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Adabra. Oz Adabra, if you take away your fear, Divrei Devarai, my words, Lehisvakeach, to complain, Al Mahivi Harohalai, Aloy Chamos, why you brought upon me this evil for no sin, Velo Ira Mimenu, I would not be afraid of a Kadosh Baruch, Kilo Yimso Biyodi Devapesha, because I acknowledge that I have not committed any sin, Kiloy Chain Anochi Im Atzmi, Kashani Beinechem. And he says to his friends, I don't look at myself the way you look at me. You look at me as a sinner. I do not look at myself as a sinner. Asher tachshavoni lorav pesha, asher lokeinu, it's not so. He concludes this expression, if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would take away from me his fear and would take away his punishment, I would be able to speak. I would be able to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he then says to his friends, I'm lo chein anochi imadi. You, the way you look at me is not the way I look at myself. You look at me as a sinner. And that's why you tell me to do tshuva. I don't look at myself as a sinner. I am aware that I have not done any sins. And therefore, I don't know why this is happening to me. So don't speak to me in this fashion. All right, there's more here. There's a very, very good medrash. We'll do this in Hashem tomorrow.